reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. In case you didn't know it, it really helps to be looking at the person who's getting ready to hit the button and you go on the air. It avoids a long period of silence in there. So we are thankful to have you tune into the Refresh radio program today, right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship, and WWBC 1510 AM. Thank you for making us part of your day. My name's Bob Arthurs, and the next 27 minutes or so, we're going to have a great time in the Word of God, because God's Word is a gift from Him to make our life better. And I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the road, I really like to avoid obstacles that could do damage to my vehicle, to others, or to people that I love. And that's what the Word of God does. It equips us to stay on the straight and narrow path, and it also equips us on how to avoid things that are going to damage and devastate us in our journey. So we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 11 today. We're going to begin reading in verse 16. We touched on 16 and 17 yesterday, so we'll pick up on verse number 18. But verse number 16 of Proverbs chapter 11 says, "A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." So we're talking about the delivering capability of living a life in right standing with God and right standing with those around us. And one of the ways that we do that is through the life that we lead. It says here, the wicked man does deceptive work. It's a person who works so that other people don't see the reality of what is going on. You know, there's a saying, well, that's good enough for government work. Well, good enough for government work is not good enough for God's work. You and I, we need to be doing honest work. We need to be hard workers. We need to be people who are laboring not only for a paycheck, but for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. When you work, do it for the glory of God. When you eat, do it for the glory of God. I am, you know, still looking for that successful mechanism that will help me to get back to the weight that I need to be, because I want to represent God well. I don't want that to be an issue that causes me complications later on in life. Last year I had blood work done. Everything was perfect. It was in good working order, and I want to keep it that way. I don't want to wait. You know, I read a book one time and it said this: change before you have to. In other words, make the choice to change before you have to change. And so we want to be a person who does whatever we do for the glory of God. So I want to pastor to the glory of God. I want to host this radio program for the glory of God. I want to be a husband to the glory of God, be a father for the glory of God, be a grandfather for the glory of God. I want to bring glory to God through my finances. That's what I want to do. I don't want to give a false appearance, because I will tell you, I'm a lousy liar. I think that there's a neon sign that goes off over my head. I know that there are people who specialize in body language. They wouldn't need that with me. I just don't do deception well, so I don't do it. I don't do it. And we need to bring integrity and truth, not only out of our mouth, but we need to do it to our work as well, so that people do not uncover the truth later and attribute our shortcomings to God, and then they don't not want to have anything to do with God. That's my number one thing in life, is I don't want to be the reason that people choose not to serve Jesus Christ. So that's what the wicked person does. But then there's the righteous person. And it says, this verse puts this in a very interesting fashion, maybe not a sentence structure that we would think about too much in today's society, unless you like to eat. But it says, but a person who sows righteousness, not just lives righteous, but it is actually sowing. The righteousness that we have and that we live by today is a seed that we are sowing that is going to manifest fruit tomorrow. In one of our ministry stops through the years in a different state, I heard a person that said, you know, I sowed my wild oats when I was young. I sowed my wild oats. And they eventually got to that place where they were no longer sowing wild oats. But in their family, they were reaping them. And, you know, let me just put it to you. Christians don't believe in karma. Okay, any Christian that you hear that starts talking about karma, they don't understand the gospel. Okay, it's not about that. But as long as the earth endures, there is seed time and harvest. And so if you have sown bad seed, then you need to pray for crop failure. You need to pray for drought. You need to go and do what I did. When we moved into our house, there were some plants all along the fence line. And it's not that I don't really care for that plant. I mean, we have some of that exact same plant in a pot right now that is growing, but it is not in the soil. And my wife wasn't a fan of it being where it was. And one of the other things that my kids didn't like at that point in time is snakes really liked to slither through that stuff. And that didn't really produce a whole lot of peace of mind for me whenever a snake came slithering through the backyard. So what I did was I got out there and knew that there were seeds in the ground from those plants. And so I went and dug all of those up because I didn't want to have them come back anymore. But because they had already been there, there were some bulbs that stayed in the ground. And before I knew it, I had another harvest coming up. And so I went out there and I was very intentional about removing those seeds. And I think I had to do that one more time as well before I got to the point where all of those seeds, all of those bulbs were no longer growing where they had at one point in time been placed. Someone else had sown those seeds before we got there, and it took intentionality to make sure that I didn't have a harvest of those things growing on my backyard. I tell you that story so that you, if you realize that you have sown bad seed, Repent. Repent to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, please forgive me. And then say, God, your word says that you are the Lord of the harvest. And so would you help me plow under the crop that I have sown, the weeds and the tares that I have sown? I want to plow those under because I want righteousness to come springing forth in my life. I want to be known for the work that you've done in me more than the wicked stuff that I have done in my own life. So he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. And I will tell you, in the spirit realm, we don't need to operate with voids in our life. God came to fill the void that we have that was left because we sinned. We're fallen individuals. We were born sinners, and we have sinned repeatedly on our own accord. And that comes at the expense of our relationship with God. So Jesus comes to fill that void. If you've ever lost a loved one, there needs to be something that fills that void. If you've ever had a bad habit that you got rid of, then you need to fill that void, that empty space, with something godly, because if not, then, you know, it's going to be fruitless at best, or something even worse fills its place. You and I are not meant to be without purpose. So righteousness. A person who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. I love the certainty of that word. You are going to have a reward. Jesus said, whatever you have left for the sake of the kingdom, you are going to reap it many times over, not only in the life to come, but in this life as well. Christians as a pastor, I want them to know that it is not just about improving their eternal destiny, although that is crucially, vitally important. We ask Jesus into our heart and it changes our forever. But here in this life, the sooner that we ask Jesus into our life, the sooner we begin to walk with an eternal perspective, a kingdom perspective, in this world as well. A lot of people live as if this world is all there is and there's nothing to eternity. And there are other people who live as if this life doesn't matter and eternity is all that matters. And the truth of the matter is, God wants to give you abundant life in both the here and the now and the future. So righteousness, because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Okay? You sow righteousness, and listen, you don't do it for rewards from men. You do it because God is going to cause whatever we do for his glory to come back exponentially blessed. Verse number 19, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil, pursues it to his own death. So there are two opposing roads. I don't know if you have ever driven down a road that was a one-way road and found someone going the wrong direction on the one-way road. It doesn't give you a lot of confidence in their driving capabilities, speaking from experience. And so you, when the person's going the wrong way and you're in a 3,000-pound vehicle driving down the road at 25 miles an hour, if they're going 25, that means that you're going to collide at 50. It's not going to be pretty. The airbag's going to go off, going to mess up your hair and all sorts of stuff. Going to be powder all over the place. You don't want it. Body work, you know, going to be without your car. So if you see somebody going the wrong way, you end up getting out of the way. And don't believe all of that stuff you see in the movies about people driving the wrong way down a highway and it's not going to have catastrophic results. It has catastrophic results. The same is true spiritually. If you pursue evil, that means you are not pursuing God. And it's going to result in separation from him. I encourage people to do this. Run harder towards God after you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior than you ran away from him when you were a sinner. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to hide themselves from God. And God says, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God didn't know where he was. Adam didn't know where he was. Instead of accepting responsibility, he blamed his wife. Actually, he blamed God. It's the woman you gave me. And the woman blamed the serpent. Moses blamed the Israelites for being the reason that he wasn't going to get to go into the promised land. In actuality, it was Moses. Okay? And so we need to be the one that determines what we're going to pursue, what we're going to chase, what we are going to seek after. Because if we're pursuing righteousness, it's going to lead to a fantastic quality of life. If we're pursuing evil, it might seem fun for a moment, but it's going to be disastrous in the end. It will be lethal in the end. Verse number 20, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Okay, so not only are these things that we're talking about, not only do they have bearing on the quality of life that we lead, but it impacts the demeanor that God has towards us. God is love. That is true. God is also righteous. God is just. God is true. And God cannot tolerate sin. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to do away with our sin. And so you have to ask yourself, am I going to pursue a lifestyle that is going to find me hostile towards God? Or am I going to find or pursue a relationship, a lifestyle that is going to be a joy to him? So John Bevere made a statement. He said, I told my kids, I love you, and there is nothing that you can do that will ever change that. I love you. But your behavior directly impacts how much joy we're going to be able to experience in the relationship. Because if we're constantly finding ourselves in that correction mode, then that's going to get old quick. There have been times in my life where I went to work, and every time I went to work, I got told everything that I was doing that was wrong. And it got to the point where I didn't want to go to work anymore, because everybody was always telling me about everything that I did wrong. Okay? But when I got to go to work and it was a joy, it changes the demeanor. Okay? You are never meant to be in a hostile relationship with God. You were meant to have a covenant relationship with God, a love-filled relationship with God, a joy-filled relationship with God that is beating the enemy at every turn and causes you to be more than an overcomer in Christ Jesus. don't pursue an ungodly lifestyle and expect that God is going to be thrilled with the things that you're doing. It's just not going to happen. Verse number 21, this is probably where we're going to end today, because I wanted to really focus on this on today's program. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Remember, we started this with deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Not just deliver me from evil, but deliver us from evil. Or deliver us from the evil one. And so I want to broaden your perspective here just a little bit, because the righteous life that we lead, or the wicked life that we lead, has an impact on whether our children and our grandchildren are going to live in bondage to sin, or whether they're going to serve in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend of mine, actually there's three friends of mine. They're all brothers. And when their dad had a birthday, one of them said this: "Dad, thank you for asking Jesus into your heart and changing your family's destiny." All three of his kids love the Lord. Two of them are in ministry for sure. One of them may be in ministry. I'm not sure about that. They all are very active in the kingdom of God, because a man made a decision that he was going to live a righteous and godly life that he wasn't raised up in. But because of that, he spoke righteousness into his kid's life. He lived righteous before them. He lived righteous in the church that I grew up in. And I remember, because one of his sons and I, we were in Bible college together, and he would get letters from his dad that weren't telling him everything he was doing wrong, but he was encouraging them in their relationship with God. This is what you need to do. You need to get into the Word of God. I remember he said something along this lines. He said, if you will spend an hour a day in the Word of God, within just a few years, you will be an expert on the Word of God. A man changed his destiny. His kids were delivered from the punishment of the wicked. It didn't matter how many. There's a footnote in my Bible that says, though they join forces, literally means though they go hand in hand. And there is a power in unity. When they built the Tower of Babel, God said nothing, because of the spirit that they're operating in, the spirit of unity, they have one goal, they have one train of thought, one language that they speak, nothing's going to be impossible to them. It's a great message to the church, that a church moving in the same direction and speaking the same mind and doing so not against what God has commanded, like the people at the Tower of Babel, but doing what God has commanded, nothing shall be impossible to them. Okay, but if you are united and numerous in the pursuit of wickedness, you're still going to experience the punishment. But if you lived a righteous lifestyle, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and to 1,000 generations will experience the blessing of God. there's a study that's out there. It documents two families very early in life, and I don't have that family name, the two families' names, and it talked about how one of them grew up and in a godly home, the other family grew up in a godless home, and the price that was paid by the ungodly family, you know, they were always in jail, they were always in trouble, they were dying young, they were living hard and paying a high price, and the other family rose in prominence. And it wasn't that the two families started out that different as far as the baseline, but the one big difference was their relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, you don't want to sow seeds that your kids are going to have to pay the price for. At least I don't. Hezekiah, that was one of the things about him that I just didn't understand. He messed up, and God said, well, you know, you're going to have trouble. Your family's going to have trouble after you're gone. And Hezekiah said, well, at least it's not going to be while I'm alive. I refuse to do anything that's going to cause my kids to pay the price for it. I just will not do it. I want to live my life. I want to sow seeds of righteousness that they're going to experience the benefit for. My goal for my kids has always been very simple. I want them to love Jesus more than I love Jesus and do more for the kingdom of God than I've been able to do for the kingdom of God. And I want to set the bar very high. So I've got kids that are doing better than I did financially. I've got kids that are smarter than I am. I've got kids who are loving ministry, and they are looking to lead a godly life as early as possible so that they get the benefits and the rewards of that, and their families will experience the benefits and the rewards as well. So what's it going to be? What are you going to sow? Are you going to sow righteousness or do deceptive work? I don't know about you, but I want my family delivered from every stronghold, every chain, and every bondage. So I'm going to sow righteousness and live righteously before them. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The mighty one, the Lord, calls to all the earth, from the rising of the sun to the place it makes its bed. He calls his people, and we will listen. He will not keep silent till we feel the fire again. Oh, till we feel the fire again.